All right, Scott Mitchell will join us, our Jays reporter, here in just a moment. Feeling better coming into this segment. I don't know if you guys noticed, at 6 o'clock, I was fighting off a sneeze as we came on the air. My right eye was watering, and I kept it together. I kept it on the rails, but I'm like, we're in COVID. We're on TV, radio. I'm in a room by myself. Not that it matters, but I've got a loud, obnoxious sneeze, too.
Dude, me too. And what I can't figure out is how it's never happened on air, because when I sneeze once, I'm sneezing 10 times min.
Yeah.
Really?
And there's nothing more annoying than a serial sneezer, and I know I am one. Like, my wife will look at me like, you have to stop that or I'm going to literally kick you out of the house.
I sneezed yesterday, I think. I just lean out of the screen and sneeze. And
yeah,
then
I saw that
in.
Move. I was wondering what you were up to over there.
I'll tell you a veteran trick, and it's hard to pull off, is the person that holds it and just goes like, and I'm like, dude, if I tried
impossible.
That, there would be police tape with snot everywhere. Like, the person that holds the sneeze, I don't either.
I don't understand how it's possible to do
that. If I tried to snop it, there would be toonie-sized boogers flying everywhere.
Yeah.
It's impossible
to
stifle a big sneeze. Like, if you're a big sneezer... And there's nothing. I get it. I have the loudest, most obnoxious sneeze.
Stopping the McKinnon line on a 3-on-0 is easier.
Yeah, it really is. It's impossible to stop a sneeze.
It is.
Impossible. Here's our Jays reporter, Scott Mitchell. What's up, Scotty?
Well, not a whole lot. How's older drive doing? We need to talk about that Photoshop that was swirling around Twitter.
Yeah.
That was a good job by whoever that guy is. That'd be glistening.
Hazy B looked haggard with the mullet. And
yeah, you did.
It was
a mess.
Weathered
man.
Veteran.
Yeah.
I look like an old rum nose that was like
noodles. You looked like you had a diaper on in that picture with that beard. Like, you could not be trusted to be out in public.
I know.
I loved it.
Thought it was good. I thought it was bang on.
Yeah. That's us, man. That'll be listen, I know I'm going to be a weather disaster.
Oh, that was beyond. That was like two packs of Roths on the course and whiskey all night.
Yeah.
Like,
for
look
45
at that.
Years.
Oh,
look at that.
My. That's a 94 on the scorecard with three packs of Rothman's Green.
Yeah. And yeah, Noodles, you honestly look like you're tuned up in that picture. And O didn't really weather
you look
at
like
all.
Mike Ditka.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you look like Mike Ditka.
You look like
middle,
Ditka.
Sure.
You just need a stash. No, you look good. Yeah. You look dignified. I like it, Scotty. And it's a good point, man. We got it up on TSN 2. And so who's this Riley Adams kid? Like, he's not a kid. He's 24 years old. But Jansen's going on the IL, and I guess we'll get a steady diet of Reese McGuire. But Adams is going. And what about Kirk? I haven't heard anything about Alejandro Kirk. Where do we stand at the catcher position here with the Jays in Chicago?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, big opportunity for Riley Adams. I wrote about him in the spring, and he was flying under the radar all last year at the alternate site, and some of the biggest power in the organization. Big dude out of California, and the guy just, you know, when he connects, you know, there's big power in that bat. We saw it in spring training. He had a number of home runs. And, you know, I think with him, it's just, you know, do you move well enough as a catcher to be good defensively at that size? A big 6'4 dude, big 225, you know, that's kind of, you know, not the norm for the position. You want those guys moving around, blocking balls in the dirt, things like that. But, you know, he's really developed since they drafted him in the third round 4 years ago. And when you look at, you know, where he kind of stands in the organization, nobody's really talked about him. So he's going to get an opportunity here with Reese McGuire. They'll split time. You know, we'll see how many at-bats he gets. But, you know, I think he's an interesting guy that's under the radar. And, you know, we've talked about this a couple of times. There's five catchers right now on the 40-man roster. And, you know, I really think one of these guys is going to get dealt at some point. So, you know, maybe even a little bit of a showcase here for Adams heading into the trade deadline for the Blue Jays, because I think all of these guys have been asked about. And you talk about Kirk, and, you know, unfortunately he's on the 60-day right now, so he's not even eligible till Canada Day. So, you know, probably 3 weeks till we see him, but he's progressing. And, you know, I think the way his bat looked right before he hit the IL is probably, you know, the best sign for the Blue Jays at the catcher spot, because, you know, I think when we're sitting here talking in September, who's in the lineup the most, I think it's probably Kirk and not Bat.
Scotty, with 162, it's always difficult to describe a couple of series or a set of games. But with what they got coming up, Chicago, Fenway, Haysburg, you say they go after that, New York?
Yeah, no, they're at home against the Yankees, though, yep.
Yeah, like this segment coming up, it's a pretty big one, isn't it, for these guys? Kind of, whether you want to call it a measuring stick, where they end up in the standings, it's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, those questions are kind of asked and thrown around. And I think, you know, when you're in a clubhouse and you mention 162, I think you're always trying to test yourself. You're always trying to measure yourself, see where you're at. But, you know, in September, is anybody going to remember a series in early June? No, not at all. But, you know, I think when you look at the standings right now, it's still keep your head above water time. You got to play good baseball here for the next kind of 4 weeks. And then you can put yourself in a really, really good position heading into the deadline to kind of do what you want and see how you can improve this ball club and make a run in the last 2 months. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think this team has been inconsistently consistent all year. I think the issues are the issues, and they're going to continue to be the issues until they get fixed. And I think, you know, you look at it, and these two clubs are very, very similar. I mean, you know, big offenses. A little bit of starting pitching, pretty good bullpens. And, you know, I think the White Sox are kind of a year ahead of the Jays in terms of being all in a little bit. They pushed in, you know, real hard over these last couple of years. And, you know, I think they feel their time is now. And, you know, it's an interesting matchup because these are two of the best teams in the AL.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, the Jays are in Chicago taking on the White Sox tonight. And I guess Springer, you know, we'll, at some point he's going to return. We don't know when. But Biggio is currently rehabbing as we speak, and he's getting some tune-up games. So we expect him back maybe by the end of the week, give or take. So if and when Springer and Biggio return, how do you see the lineup playing out? Because the bats have been alive, and specifically 1-2-3, it's been arguably the best 1-3 in the American League over the last month, month and a half. So how do you see, you know, Biggio fitting in clearly further down the lineup, but Springer, if and when he returns in the next, you know, 10 to 14 days?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he didn't show up on a rehab assignment in Trenton with the Bisons at some point this week. You know, I heard he was really close the last couple of days, and, you know, whether or not they're just taking it slow at the final moments here, it sounds like he's going to be ready to go pretty quick. And, you know, it's a huge addition. I mean, offense hasn't been the problem this season. You know, we knew that was kind of going to be the case. And the fact that you've got four partial games out of Springer up to this point, and, you know, you're still top five in the league in runs scored, and your lineup looks pretty deep, you know, on a day-to-day basis. You know, Springer's going to hit leadoff. You know, he's very comfortable up there. That's where he hit the majority of the time in Houston. When the Blue Jays were kind of going through, you know, what they could do in February and March and kind of look at the different possibilities, because there are different possibilities. I think getting him comfortable was their first idea, and then we'll see where it progresses from there. So, I mean, they're not going to bring him back until he's ready to play center field this time, which is obviously the smart thing to do after, you know, seeing the setback that occurred when he clearly wasn't 100%. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, Teoscar. Those are the four guys that, you know, Charlie really likes atop that lineup. And then Marcus Semien has just been unbelievable. And you start to think about how deep this lineup could look with a hot Semien, a hot Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And then you mentioned Biggio. And, you know, I thought he'd be a nice fit in that two hole in March. But now you have to stack that lineup with the guys that are hitting well. And I think Biggio and Gurriel and some of these other guys, you know, they're going to take turns getting hot, and this team is going to keep scoring runs. So it's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, I think Springer's impact, you know, is a little bit muted right now in terms of the fans, because everyone's forgotten about how good this guy is when he's 100% healthy. So, you know, he's just going to make this deep lineup even deeper.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, the term spider tag is one I was not familiar with up until recently. But it is the go-to term and go-to product in baseball right now.
Cole was asked about it today,
and he danced around it, basically, right? Like, yeah, if you're not familiar with spider tag, it's like a super sticky, you know, ointment, I guess. It was originally for power weights, right, and power lifting and holding on to weights. And pitchers have been using it, allegedly, using it to gain grip and ultimately maybe some more – movement on pitches. And this is something baseball is clearly trying to combat. They've been doing their own reviews, and I guess they've concluded, like, this is a significant issue, and they're moving forward on this quickly. So where do the Jays stand on this? What is your understanding about where the Jays staff may, like, we always think, oh, it's Cole or it's someone in L.A. or San Diego. Why wouldn't it be a Jay? Why couldn't it be a Blue Jay that's using this? And where could it go here with baseball, and how do they combat this?
Look, honestly, I think it's everybody that's using this stuff. And we've talked about the spin rate era for the last 5 years, and I think we're probably on the cusp here of seeing, you know, exactly why spin rate, you know, was so kind of investigated by teams, because they found a way to be able to do it, whether it's, you know, organizations as a whole or individual pitchers, and that kind of being passed down. But, you know, it's very clear when you look at Cole's career, when he went from Pittsburgh to Houston, his spin rate upped and he turned into a Cy Young contender. And when you talk to people around the game, I do think they think, you know, this issue is kind of just kind of scratching the surface right now. And it's going to be interesting to see where it goes, because obviously baseball is no stranger to a scandal, and everyone's looking for an edge. And when they figured out that, you know, you could go north, south with pitching, fastballs up, breaking balls down, and when you can get that ride on that fastball, and it almost means even more than what that Raider gun says, you know, guys are going to try to do what they need to do. And, you know, Cole's comments today are ominous, because, you know, if a guy that got paid $300 million is using it, you think the seventh guy in the bullpen isn't? So it's going to be interesting where this goes. And look, I mean, right now, this is one of the unfortunate parts of the Zoom call era that we're in right now, because these conversations are ones you could have with guys when you sidle up to their locker. But in a Zoom call, I think it's going to be a lot of faces like you saw with Cole that, you know, just kind of pass the buck and hope this doesn't hit the fan.
So when Kershaw comes out and he said he's concerned about the no-hitters and the pitchers being dominant, like, if you could put a percentage on it, if you know Scotty, like, how much is this sticky grip or whatever responsible for the recent dominance?
Well, I mean, that's going to be the big question right now. And it's very clear when you look at Trevor Bauer's comments about spin rate a couple years ago, and then him going out and improving his spin rates by using potentially a substance by exactly the amount that he said. You know, it's a huge, huge thing, because, you know, they've done studies on spin rate, and it matters. It's, you know, that riding fastball you saw with Marco Estrada, you just don't understand how it works. They've started to understand how it works. And I think, you know, when you look at the steroid era, people debated how many people were on steroids, how many people weren't. You know, I've always thought that the estimate, whatever it is way too low. And I have a feeling, you know, the tack with pitchers is going to be the same kind of story, because I just think they've realized that how much it could benefit them, and the fact that it wasn't really kind of being looked at by umpires or looked for, that's a huge thing. So it's very clear there's a half decade of pitchers getting away with really probably having a good idea of what they're doing going into games and how it's going to affect their arsenal.
Well, I think the key isn't Major League Baseball. How do they get to this without having it prolonged and being an embarrassment to the league? Like, right. Hayes, don't they just got to get to a finality on this and not drag it on and drag the league through the mud?
I think so. And I mean, yeah. Scotty, you would know more than I would in terms of how illegal this is. I mean, we know, like, pine tar has been used forever, which is an illegal substance, but not to the point where if you use it, you get suspended for 50 games. Mm-hmm. You know, like steroids, steroids felt shadier. They're much more unhealthy, right, for the athlete. Like using spider tack or pine tar or whatever, that's not going to hurt your, like, immune system or your growth rate or anything like that. But this is just as effective. And I think even worse for the sport in terms of entertainment. Like, from a totally callous perspective, steroids were entertaining. Summer of 98 was thoroughly entertaining. I'm not that entertained by, you know, some guy throwing a four-hitter and some, like, all these strikeouts and all these no-hitters are getting stale. Like, this is worse for entertainment. So I would think baseball should have to snuff that out. But with the steroid era, as you know, Scotty, it wasn't technically illegal. So, you know, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, they weren't testing for it. What is the rule now? Like, is this different than pine tar? Is this equivalent to corking your bat? What can baseball do if they catch a guy?
Yeah, that's the weird catch here is steroids weren't illegal, and obviously everyone, in hindsight, frowned upon what was going on, and this is illegal. You can't put a substance on a ball, and, you know, it's just the enforcement of it, and you know how baseball works. There's rules that are written, there's rules that aren't written, mm-hmm. and sometimes the rules that aren't written are enforced more than the ones that are. So, baseball hasn't done well with these things in the past. You can debate how well they did with the Astros scandal, with the lack of punishments and the way they went about, you know, granting guys essentially immunity to tell them pretty much nothing. It's going to be interesting to see how baseball handles it, because the past has not been good in terms of these situations. They tend to shoot themselves in the foot multiple times before they get to a solution. And we'll see. I mean, I think today is probably the can of worms opening with Cole, you know, one of the best pitchers in the game, kind of being put on the spot and not really having an answer. So we'll see how Major League Baseball responds to this one.
Yeah, it's man, there's going to be a lot of hypocrites here.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people screaming, a lot of pitchers yelling and screaming about roids, yelling and screaming about Houston, yelling and screaming about the Red Sox. And it's like, what have you been up to? You know, what have you been doing?
And I think one of the interesting things here is when you look at the steroid, going back, there was the argument that, you know, hitters and pitchers almost both benefit from it. And, you know, for an endurance position, a guy that needs to throw 100 pitches a game, of course steroids are going to help you. This is clearly very one-sided,
right?
Pitchers only. So, you know, this does have the potential to be one of those things that's a talking point in every clubhouse in baseball. And, you know, I'd pay money to be a fly on the wall between, where this goes and what hitters have to say to pitchers, even on their own teams.
Right. And again, as I said earlier, purely from an entertainment standpoint, you do not want pitchers to be the ones dominating. Like, if you're in the marketing department and you could pick, it's either the bats are alive or the arms are alive. You take the bats 10 days out of 10.
Everyone loves the long ball.
Exactly. And that was, the benefit of the steroid era is we were seeing incredible numbers that they had to figure out. They had to stop, obviously. But we got to witness the history, whether it's in Cooperstown or not. The summer of 98 happened. Bonds hit those home runs. You know, watching some no-name guy throw a no-hitter because he's got spider tack, you know, that's just not going to work for the fans. And I don't think it's going to work for baseball. So I think they should be even more urgent than they would have been 20 years ago dealing with what they were dealing with. And we'll find out. I guess we'll see what Rob Manfred has in store, because it kind of feels like they're pushing in this direction. And as you said, the cat is out of the bag. Everyone knows about it now. So let's see where they take it. Enjoy it tonight, Scotty. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter.
Do you remember George Brett running out of the clubhouse or the dugout when he was caught with his bat?
Pine tar.
That was Al's brother. That was the Al's brother in the grappler when the pizza showed up on Fridays. They would come out of that room.
He, like George Brett.
Storming like George Brett.
Snapping in public.
Furious. I loved it. That George Brett one is one of the greatest snap shows of all
time. Is that the angriest athlete ever caught on camera? Like, it's up there,
Cujo,
man.
Cujo and McMagoo would be one
of
them.
Yeah, but Cujo cooled down immediately because he almost blew his knee out.
Right. Dude, I think Cujo, if he did that now, like in 2000, I think he would have got 5 games for that. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you would, for
like,
sure.
Like, he took out the feet, God rest his soul, McMagoo.
Yeah,
like, he took him out.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And going at him because he was so mad.
Yeah,
you know, it was an accident, but he put himself in a position where the accident was his own fault. That makes sense. You know, he blew a wheel. But, George Brett coming out of that dugout. And you could feel, like, if you watch the tape, they're looking at his bat, and he's like, don't do it. Don't even think about it. You're not calling this one back. And then they're like, yeah, you're out. You're done. And he comes storming out of there it is up on TSN2. Look at how angry
there's
this guy
Al's
is.
Brother when the pizza shows up.
Oh, I loved it. It's
that
best.
Might be the angriest athlete of all time, right there, George
just
Brett.
Just furious,
like pulling him back. He wants to kill that ump, kill him.
Yeah, that was awesome though.
Emotion,
I loved
man.
It.
Back in the day, But yeah, get ready for this, man. We're gonna get a steady diet all summer of spider tech.
That's why they just gotta just say, don't use it anymore. We catch you. You're 50 games, steroid suspensions. Like, end it, and make it go away.
But think about how scared owners are. Like, Gerrit Cole's a perfect example, man. The Yankees paid this guy $320 million.
I know. He's still gonna have an agreement and just say we're not penalizing anybody for using it in the past. Just going forward, no one's doing it.
Yeah.
But and then it just goes
it.
Away.
Huh? They got to police it then. You got to check. Like, you got
to
be out there.
And you know damn well somebody will try it. It'll still try to. Yes.
Of course. Guys are still taking PEDs.
But that's the just way to make it go away. You can't go back and say this guy had it that game and talk about wins and records and all that. Make this go away. COVID, people are starting to go to ballparks. It's a good thing for baseball. They don't need it derailed by this nonsense.
That's very valid.
That is true.
Very true. You know, we're turning over the page here in a lot of ways.
Yes. So, you think baseball wants this to kind of put a pause on the, not a pause, but just like derail the positivity of people drinking beers and eating hot dogs at baseball stadiums? They don't.
You don't want to see it happen. You don't want a black cloud over you. And this could be it. I mean, it feels like it's developing in that direction.